Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome, everybody, to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with you on Saturday morning, December 7th, 2019, in our nation's capital. Boy, it's almost Christmas time. I'm so excited. It's just good. You know you got family coming into town that you haven't seen in a while, it's just a great time of the year. Unfortunately, it's a terrible time of the year for the Washington Redskins more often than not. And that's probably going to be a hot topic on today's program, which we'll certainly get to over the next hour. A huge week for the radio station because, look, the best broadcast, I often didn't say it on this show, and you'll hear it today, I'm sure. You know, the best segment in sports talk radio you'll hear all week is on this program. And I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm saying it's the Junkies Rewind. The Junkies Rewind is the best segment you'll hear in DC sports all week. And, you know, I'm confident when I say that I believe it. And the best segment in DC sports you'll hear all year is going to be on today's show. And that's because it comes from the best broadcast you'll hear all year in DC sports. And that's the Junkies Drinking Show. And that happened on Friday. And I got to say, those boys didn't get into it like they did last year, but I'll give them credit. They had a damn fine show. And of course, you're going to hear highlights from that during the Junkies Rewind, because that's the best segment you'll hear in DC sports all week. And damn if it won't be the best segment you'll hear in DC sports all year. So look forward to that a little later in the program around 7:40. But first, we must get to our top five most read stories of the week from the fan, DC.com. These are the biggest stories in DC sports this week as determined by you, the loyal reader of thefandc.com.
It's time for the download countdown. The five most read stories this week on thefandc.com.
Let's do this.
Number five.
The Baltimore Ravens have officially eclipsed the Washington Redskins in popularity in their own backyard, if only for one Sunday. Last Sunday's Ravens 49ers broadcast received a 9.5 TV rating in the DC market, far outdrawing the Redskins Panthers broadcast, which aired at the same time on CBS, garnering a paltry 5.3 rating. Even when the Redskins have been bad, which has been more often than not over the past two decades, Redskins fans, while they're not attending games, would at least be watching from home. And now they're not only not doing that, they're choosing to watch someone else instead. J.P. Finley of NBC Sports Washington adds, "Those numbers are in key demographic for advertisers. Overall, Ravens still beat Redskins, but it was closer. 12.5 for Ravens to 11.7 for Redskins. Skins game also had a rating surge late once the team had the lead in the Ravens game ended. The point remains, for a long time, it would be absolutely unthinkable for the Redskins not to be the highest rated team in town. Unthinkable. It took a perfect storm, but that time has ended," end quote. You can read more at thefandc.com/Redskins.
Number four.
Before the Washington Redskins called Nate Orchard in for a tryout, he was installing windows in Utah. Yes, the linebacker was spending a few days each week installing windows from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. while waiting for his next NFL chance after being released by the Seahawks and Dolphins in the preseason. His opportunity finally came in week 13. Nate Orchard joined Grant and Danny this week, and this was his reaction when he learned the Redskins were signing him.
Oh, man, there's so many emotions that go into it.
just because this had been my 10th, going on 11th workout now. Every week since the season started, I've had a workout, you know, leave my family on Monday, work out on Tuesday, not knowing if I'm going to be back or not. So many, it was just a roller coaster of emotions this entire season. And when they came in the cafeteria and told me they were signing me, and my heart just kind of dropped. And I was relieved, you know, and just excited about the opportunity, and immediately called my wife.
You can find that full interview at grantanddanny.com.
Number three.
The Carolina Panthers owned the first quarter against the Redskins last Sunday, scoring touchdowns on their first two drives to jump out to an early 14-0 lead. Afterwards, it was radio silence from Carolina's offense until the fourth quarter, as their next nine drives resulted in eight punts and one Kyle Allen interception to Fabian Moreau in the second quarter. So what exactly happened? Chris Thompson was asked about that by the Junkies.
I know you're not a defensive guy, and you're probably not paying attention to what's going on when you guys are off the field, but what happened defensively? The Carolina Panthers marched down the field, 75-yard drive and a 55-yard drive. Back-to-back, it's 14-0 before you could blink. And then all of a sudden, I think Carolina punted seven straight times with a pick in between. I mean, they couldn't move the ball at all after those first two drives. What the hell happened?
I think from what I could see, because for the most part I try to stand up and just watch and see what's going on the defense. I think there was some miscommunication and stuff going on, especially in that defensive backfield a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, I believe, you know, they did some talking and going on the sideline and made sure they got their communication together, or maybe even coach, you know, maybe might have changed the play calls and made them a little more simpler and things like that for all the guys. And they just started clicking, man. Like, I don't know, man. It was unbelievable how great they end up playing after, you know, dropping those first two drives. And then on the offensive side, we went 3-and-out right after. I think, you know, after their first long drive, we went 3-and-out, put them right back on the field. They scored again, and then after that, they were on fire. And that's you love to see that. And I mean, our D line, those guys up front, got all the sacks that they got. It was amazing to see.
Number two.
And this piece is titled, "Could This Really Be the End of Bruce Allen's Reign?" And I think that should give you a good context clue about where this story is headed. But there has been a wellspring of reports, I'll say, cropping up in the last few weeks, circulating around Bruce Allen's future with the Washington Redskins. It seems crazy that he still has a job at this point, but it almost seems as crazy to think that Dan Snyder may actually pull the trigger and move on from his top friend and lieutenant, Bruce Allen. But then there's this soundbite from longtime NFL reporter John Clayton.
John, you've been around the game so long and around front offices forever, so your perspective on things like this always matter to me. I'm wondering what your gut feel is for the Redskins. Now, here in town, people are wondering, could this be the end of the road after 9-plus years and now 10 seasons of Bruce Allen? Do you think he'll be around next year, or Dan Snyder goes in a different direction?
I think he might go a different direction. I think he doesn't want to. Probably does. But I think right now there's such a clamoring for change. And, of course, there's going to be change, obviously, with the coaching staff and all that, because I'm pretty doubtful that Bill Callahan's going to be able to get the job. He's going to want a bigger name and try to build some of the fan base back. So if that's going to be the case, yeah, I think there's a chance that could happen, although I don't think Dan wants to do it.
That was our second most read story of the week from thefandc.com. When we come back, the number one story in D.C. sports this past week. And of course, after that, the best segment in D.C. sports all week, if not the best segment in D.C. sports all year, in the Junkies Rewind. You're listening to The Download. Welcome back to The Download. Chris Lingbach here with another segment. Don't forget The Junkies Rewind, the best segment of the year, will be on today's program in the very next segment. So stick around for that. Now let's jump back in where we left off.
And now, the number one story this week on thefandc.com.
Let's go to the phones for our author of our top story this week. I know he's going to be so proud to hear this. Rick Snyder is on the line with his Redskins column, The Redskins Kids Are All Right, written fresh off the Redskins 29-21 surprise victory over the Carolina Panthers, Rick. Tell me, what did you like about those boys last week that gave you confidence in the youth of the Redskins youth movement moving forward?
Well, first off, woohoo, number one again, baby. Bow to the king.
You've been crushing it this year.
I always love being king of the download, you know?
Yeah.
My way. So I don't get much else in life, but I do have that once in a while.
Well, yeah, you're printing, so I'm the king of the download.
Oh, all right. Well, as long as I'm not the Joker, I guess I've worked out.
Hey, let's open
people asked me a few weeks ago, what are they going to watch? You know, the team's doing so badly. I said, you watch the kids. There's some really interesting young players on this team that, given there's nothing else to do, you're going to watch Haskins, you're going to watch Geis, you're going to watch Harmon, you're going to watch McLaurin, you know, Sims. Keep talking about offensive guys. But, you know, there's a lot of interesting players. You know, Geis had a great game, and I am not surprised in the least because I thought he was special from the first day he showed up.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see a lot of interesting things from him.
Well, it was good, I think, to kind of see him go off like that against a pretty respectable defense. I guess the win as a whole was pretty surprising. And now when you look at the fact that the Redskins have won two straight, you know, obviously it's still a lost season, but it feels like there's a couple of things you can point to here now where you go, yeah, well, that was a terrible year, but this, and this are really starting to click, and maybe there's, dare I say, a little promise.
I guess a touch. I mean, every year is its own disaster anymore. But when you're down 14-0 after two drives and you've had a three and out, how do you win that game? I was shocked that they just came back. I mean, the Panthers aren't a terrible team, but, you know, I'll give the defense credit. They bucked up somehow and started playing some ball.
Right.
And people think, well, they're playing better defensively because they're playing bad teams. They're not playing those first five games again, you know. And then we'll see. Green Bay's the real decision on where this team is. If they could hang in there, I mean, I'd be shocked if they won. But let's just say they win. Well, you got a chance at actually making the playoffs at 7-9. That's just ridiculous. If they lose the Packers game, then there's no chance really of winning, and you know, off we go. But I don't think there's a whole lot to be happy about on this year. If you get Haskins at least enough reps that he has a chance next year, that's a positive. I really like Harmon. I think he's showing up a lot now. He's going to show up more. I thought he was a better receiver than McLaurin, but I may be wrong. But I think they're both good. And Geis, I think, is really one to watch. He could be the next Clinton Portis. Really strong back. So, you know, we'll see who their new coach is and whether they have a different team president. There's so much else going to happen. So for these last few games, you just kind of watch the kids.
Let me ask you this about Dwayne Haskins, because at the end of the day, winning the game is all that matters. And, you know, you could get there easily or you could get there painfully. The Redskins have kind of gotten there the past 2 weeks pretty painfully. But does it concern you at all that Haskins really hasn't looked good? He just hasn't looked bad, and he's also just done just enough to not lose games the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think we want to turn him into a hero quite yet. You know, Mr. I'm a closer, please. You know, I don't think so. You know, a closer would have scored a touchdown, not kick a field goal. Yeah, his numbers are not very good. People criticize those of us who aren't cheerleading for him. I mean, I wish him well. I think you give him 1,000 throws in the league, he's going to be okay. But I think that's really where he is okay. And there are many Bradys, you know, but he could be a competent player. He's showing some improvement. But, man, these are things he should have had done before he even showed up in the NFL.
Well, and one thing I've noticed really since OTAs back in whether it was April, May, whenever it was, the one thing that has been consistent from Haskins is that he is inconsistent. He, you know, he'll make a wild throw down the field 50 yards on a button, and then the very next throw he can't pass it 15 yards to the sideline.
Yeah, I think he's still internalizing the game a lot. Every game that you do something now, you're going to have to do something new. And, you know, he hadn't hit that comfort zone yet because he's still learning things first time. You know, his footwork could still be better, but it has improved a lot. You know, he can't be staring at people as much. He's gotten better at that. So a lot of little things. But, yeah, I admit that, man, his arm is just scattered some days. You're just like, how'd you miss that throw? Well, part of it is his mechanics are not good enough, and he's not paying enough attention because he's being distracted by a guy coming at him and those kind of things. That's why I say 1,000 throws and maybe all that works out.
All that said, you did write after the win over the Lions that Haskins showed the Redskins that he's a keeper. I saw you catch a lot of heat on Twitter for that. I guess what made you think that at the time?
I'm glad you read my Twitter comments because I don't. I'd go home and cry every night if I read all that stuff. You know, what I'm meaning there is I don't think they need to draft his replacement. And, you know, he's shown enough that this isn't a disaster. This is something that can be worked with and gotten better. And so you don't have to go burn that top five pick on a QB because this melted down. It didn't get to that point. He's showing improvement. Like I said, he may not be Brady, but maybe he can be okay. And at least I think at this point we still have that optimism that he can do that. But I don't know how much more. I mean, they're going to need that top pick for a lot of positions, and including I'll give you this for Haskins. He has no tight end to throw to. Think if he had Jordan Reed.
Yeah. You know,
that would make him – he would look a lot better if he had Jordan Reed.
Sure. Well, okay, and I know this is an explosive topic among Redskins fans, and there's people like Eric Bickle from the Junkies who say, you know, tanking is for losers, that's loser mentality, never tank, that's stupid. And then there are the other people that look at it purely logically rather than emotionally, and they say, well, you're in a position to potentially get a top – three pick next year, you know, you'd be foolish not to do that. I guess my concern, if I'm a Redskins fan, is kind of getting stuck in that middle ground where you're not quite confident that Haskins is going to be a good quarterback after this season. And maybe a year from now, we look back on this coming draft and say, wow, they really blew an opportunity to right a wrong.
Yeah, but think if they finish 7-9, people would be doing cartwheels after that 0-5.
If
you go win, if you can win, go win. I would never tank for a player because there's lots of good players in the NFL. They don't all have to come in the first five picks. You know, if you're smart enough to get them, lots of great quarterbacks in the second, third, fourth round. A lot of great players that are those rounds. It's how do you pick them? So I would much rather see them win a few games and just draft a little lower. You'll still find a decent player. There. You won't maybe get a no-brainer, but you'll still get a really good player.
You wrote in your column this week, again, it's our top story of the week, and people can read it at thefandc.com. Rick Snyder's column is titled, "The Redskins Kids Are All Right." You wrote, "The worry is late-season success may fool Washington into not making needed changes." I guess how real is that fear that, and I'm assuming – the needed changes you're referring to would be Bruce Allen?
Right. I think it's a real – I don't see Bruce leaving right now. Now, they got four games to go. If they lose them all, maybe that changes. But right now, I just don't get the feel that Bruce is there. And Bruce could sit there with a straight face at least and tell Dan, look, you know, we got rid of Jay and we're 3-4 since then and we got some things going. And Dan doesn't want to fire his buddy. It takes a total meltdown for him to get rid of Serrato. It would have to do it again. I don't have the – you know, there's a lot of talk about certain coaches say they won't come here without Bruce. I don't think there's a coach out there that can push Dan Snyder into that position. I just don't think it'll happen. So right now I see Bruce staying. It's too bad because I think they have so many bridges that have been burned around this team, both in players and fans. I mean, you got to remember, there's no fans going to these games anymore. You know, there's 10,000, 12,000 Redskins fans there. You got to make peace with these people or they're not coming back.
That's – sorry to cut you off, but that's the part that seems so glaringly obvious to me, and I would say to all of those same fans who aren't showing up is, you know, when that report comes out last week, I believe it started from Mike Garofolo of NFL Network, and you know, there wasn't a whole lot that he really reported there. There wasn't a lot of there, but he just said, look, he's, you know, Dan Snyder is going to be evaluating everything after the end of the season. You could argue they should do that about every position in the organization after every season, but the fact remains, you know, people aren't showing up to the games. The fire Bruce Allen hashtag, you know, I don't know how much credence to give it, but I'll tell you what, if you are on Twitter, it is very apparent every single tweet that the Redskins send. And I just, to me, it's hard for somebody to completely ignore that.
And yet Dan Snyder doesn't care what you think, so, or anybody else. You know, he's going to do what he does because he's still making tons of money. If they were losing money and things were desperate, then you force that decision out of them. But that's not happening with the NFL's shared revenue system.
Right.
You know, and so he doesn't care. You know, he lives in his own world. He's not pumping gas and hear somebody yell at it, wah-wah, you suck.
But
I mean,
then,
you know.
But then that's the answer. That goes back to something we've talked about on this show quite a few times, is that, you know, everybody loves to go out, you know, people, representatives of the Redskins, and say, Dan Snyder, nobody wants to win more than he does. I just don't believe it. It doesn't ring true to me at all. In fact, it rings very hollow.
Yeah, if he truly wanted to win, he'd sell a team and sit in the stands and watch somebody else do it. Yeah, and that's not happening. I can't imagine Snyder will sell his team before, you know, at least shortly before his death. You know, and I don't wish death on anybody. So I would think he'd own his team at least another 20 years. So that's not changing. It's just not. So you're a fan. They get rid of Bruce. You don't immediately sign up for season tickets again. There's a lot of fence mending. It's going to take a few years and a few wins and some things to happen. But Snyder has been so closed away from the fans his whole 20 years that I don't think he's capable of really having the transparency needed to win people back.
Yeah, but when he's sitting in the owner's box at his own stadium and the fans are chanting, sell the team, sell the team, like even he has to hear that.
Maybe. He doesn't really care. He doesn't care. You know, that's the right. That's the decision you have to come to, is he doesn't care. He's got his own way of doing things in life, and he thinks they're close. And, man, 6-3 last year, if the quarterback just hadn't been hurt. Now, this year, if they made a move earlier with Gruden, maybe, you know, which is not – oh, it's nonsense. I mean, this is a year that an NFC East team may win the division at 7-9. That's the kind of year the Redskins would win it, and they're not even going to do it this time. But he's invulnerable to these kind of things. I mean, Jack Kent Cook didn't care what you had to say either, nor did George Preston Marshall or Everett Bennett Williams. It's a different world, the rich, you know, from you and I. They have money. We don't.
It's just
so,
sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's what people really misunderstand about this whole thing. They think that Snyder's vulnerable to public pressures on these parts, and he's not. He's just not. It's not. That's not going to make a difference. Now, the empty stadiums bothered him more years ago because now you have visiting fans there, so at least there's fans in the stands. You know, if you blocked everybody who wasn't a Redskin fan from coming in, okay, that would be a little more stark. But, you know, Philly's coming. They're still got a puncher's chance of winning. Going to see their fans there. You're going to – I don't know about the Giants fans, but there's a lot of New Yorkers around here. They may still come. It's still the NFL. If you want to see an NFL game, you know, you can go see a game for $5 or whatever it is. You know, come on over and watch. Traffic's not bad.
Yeah, I just don't know. You know, it seems to me like there's so much – bad will built up in just this season alone. You go back to the Trent Williams thing, and now that he's doing interviews, and they just come off so darn bad, and it's just kind of hard to reconcile the fact that even for Dan Snyder, you look at the record and go, well, what would our record have been had the team president not gotten into a game of chicken with our starting left tackle? The guy that's given his sweat and blood to the team for the past 10 years. It seems to me that even for a guy as removed from reality of what the fans thinking are thinking in a day in and day out basis, that even Dan would kind of look at this and go, this is a little hairy.
Well, it was a bad look. There's no doubt. And I don't know what Trent would have done this year anyway, because, you know, he has a serious thing happen to him. And could he have really padded up and played? We don't really know for sure. I mean, it's his head. You know, you only get one head. Can't be messing with that. So I I don't know that Trent would have made much of a difference. I don't think Donald Pence played that badly over there. It's not Trent, but would they have won more games with Trent? I don't know that that's true. I mean, the defense gave up 30 points the first five games. That's not on Trent.
Yeah.
So, but it is a bad look. And, you know, players talk and, you know, free agents talk and they'll see what's going on here and they'll think, wow, if they did that to Trent, who would they not do it to? You know, he was the number one player on this team. So it is a bad look on these kind of things. Listen, I think they should replace Bruce. Just look at the record. It's been horrible. There's not another team in the NFL that would tolerate this. I mean, you would even have nepotism wouldn't even cover this in other places.
Right. And that's where we started with this. Nepotism, really. I mean, you talk about the Allen name.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, George was a great coach, and he really helped jump this team. I mean, Lombardi came in 69. They had their first winning year in 15 years. Unfortunately, he died the next year. And then they brought in Allen, who had seven great years here, really jumped up the franchise. It wasn't long before Joe Gibbs came in. So George Allen is a legend to a lot of people in this town. He was an interesting guy. I did not cover him. It wasn't that many years from him, but I didn't cover George. I just watched. I was a kid. But, yeah, Bruce is just, you know, when he leaves, no one's going to cry about this.
No.
On there.
I would think it would be just the opposite.
Well, probably. I mean, you know, Vinny Serrato had a much better winning percentage than Bruce does. Who would have ever guessed that? You know, Vinny Serrato was the good old days.
I would honestly, I was thinking about this the other day. I would imagine that if Dan Snyder were to come out and fire Bruce Allen at the end of the season, the celebration might be somewhat resembling of, I don't know, a team that just won the Super Bowl.
Well, it'll be high, but the question then is, do fans come back? I know a lot of fans who are already starting to look at the Defenders in February about going to those games.
Yeah,
you know, so we'll, you know, I mean, I'll be there the first day. I'm going to hate it. I swear. I hope it didn't snow, but I've got, you know, young friends that want to go, so we're going. And it's going to be 20 degrees, and I'm going to be going, why? Why do we do this? I'm going to be drinking $14 beers just to stay, you know, liquid. But you know, it'll be a big deal for fans. But then the question will be, who do you hire next? He's got to find somebody that's really good and respected in the league. And it's not going to be easy to lure that guy here because he will have to work directly with Dan. And, you know, you got to be able to – Dan's a good recruiter overall when he does these things. But that's not an easy sell there because everybody in the league knows what goes on.
Yeah, that's fair. The Redskins kids are all right is the latest column from Rick Snyder. Not the latest, but the one that is our top story this week on thefandc.com. People can read it there and follow Rick Snyder at Snide_remarks. Rick, thanks so much for your time this morning, as always.
All right, we'll be back next Saturday. Hopefully everybody read me. We'll be back with another win.
I hope so, Rick. See you then, bud.
See you.
It's always great. I'm always happy to see Rick Snyder take the crown for a given week. He works hard, and he earns it when he gets it. So kudos to him. When we come back, the best segment. It's not just the best segment you'll hear in DC Sports Radio all week. It's probably the best segment you'll hear in DC Sports Radio all year. It's a special holiday show edition of the Junkies Rewind. Welcome back to the download. It's time for our last segment, and that is the best segment you will hear in sports talk radio all year. It's a holiday show edition of the Junkies Rewind.
The Junkies Rewind on the download.
Malakilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You're looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. There's a lot going on today. It is our annual holiday show. The Palm just dropped by, brought us lobster and filet. They've got dessert out there. I think they can make omelets for you.
Omelets.
They've got a ton of stuff.
They've got carrot cake. You're going to crush the carrot cake.
We are drinking throughout the show, but we need to let people know. Do not drink and drive.
Nope. Stupid
Our
idea.
Our guy Kurt. Kurt Erickson, I believe, is his last name. Mm-hmm. Erickson.
This is Troy Polamalu's favorite
rap.
Christmas song.
It is. They've got a great program. Do not drink and drive. You can designate a sober driver or use the RAP Sober Ride now provided by Lyft. You get a $15 Lyft coupon code for SoberRide.com to use in the D.C. area nightly between 10 p.m. starting Friday, December 20th, all the way up until New Year's at 4 a.m., and they'll take care of you. We had Chief Newsham and Sergeant Thorne earlier talking about DUIs and all that stuff. There's no reason. There's so many ways.
Oh, it's completely absurd.
Sober Ride. Don't drink and drive this holiday season. So, you know, we're doing a public service by drinking.
We are,
show.
Yes. That's what
I'm
this is.
I'm drinking a lot of tequila thanks to
by
D. Smith.
By the way, we haven't taken enough calls.
No, we have
no,
not.
No, 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 we haven't.
Five callers lined up.
You what happened to your
ready
microphone? Oh, they took your microphone, D.
All right, let's take some calls. Can we do a speed round of calls?
All right.
We'll do a speed round of calls. Then, Drab told me this during the break.
Yeah.
We will talk about the drinks that we're going to prepare during the cocktail hour, and
right.
Then we'll bring in the celebrity judges.
By the way, Cakes was the leader in the clubhouse. You blew a point what?
0.109, I
blew a 0.12, but I believe it was false.
Well,
to be honest with you.
Didn't you re-blow?
It got higher.
Oh, really?
But I believe it's false. Hey, I don't believe
you're drinking
it.
Tequila.
I am drinking tequila.
Yeah, maybe you're sprinting ahead.
All right, let's go to Woody in Alexandria. Woody, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
What's up, Woody?
Hey, doing great. Merry Christmas, pal.
Merry Christmas, guys. I just wanted to talk about what my highs and lows were for the year.
Yeah, we're doing everybody's personal highs and lows.
Here
this
we go.
Is what Jason wants. All right,
Jason's
go ahead.
Thing.
What was your personal high of 2019?
Personal high would have been day before Thanksgiving, got results back from my daughter, who is 21 months cancer-free.
Oh,
oh
very
that
good.
Is awesome. That is
nothing beats
this
that,
is Woody,
brother.
My guy from MGM National Harbor. He's been in studio with us this past year.
Oh, yeah. That's what's up, Woody?
Woody works at the National Harbor?
Yes,
he
works in the poker room. That's how
Oh, Jesus. I know Woody.
Yes.
Hey, pal. I didn't know your daughter was dealing with that.
Right,
congratulations.
Don't even give us a low after that high.
Yeah, there's no low after.
You got to start with your low, by the way.
My low, I would say my low was when my wife and daughter went on vacation for a month.
Yeah.
Without me.
That's a lot of whistling. That's a lot
is.
Of whistling.
Yeah, a lot of alone time.
Yeah. You call JP, he'll tell you what to search.
Hey, you're the one that does the specific searches. You're the one that looks for conjugal visits.
Hey, Woody, congratulations, buddy. I'm so happy for your daughter.
Thank you so much.
I don't know if congratulations is the right word, but
no,
you know, we're just so happy.
We're happy.
We're so happy for you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, so I already revealed what I'm making. I'm making mudslides to get joned on. Back in the day when Jess and I were first dating, we used to go to TGI Fridays right by the movie theater in Tyson's. We would stop at TGI Fridays.
Yeah, you're not for PG
County. I'd have a mudslide, then go see a movie. It was silly.
Oh, yeah, that was my spot.
What are your drinks?
Used to work there. My drink?
Yes.
Apple teeny.
Apple teeny.
That's really sweet.
It's going to be a little sweet. I'll be honest. It's the first drink I just learned to make when I got my little shaker kit and everything.
Right.
And I just think it's funny because it's so effeminate. So I'm making an apple teeny.
It's easy to make, too.
There's only a few
ingredients. Like three
ingredients. You think it's an apple?
Mine is not manly either.
Exactly.
What's yours?
All right, I believe it's called a North Pole cocktail, so be careful when you Google that.
A North Pole cocktail?
If you Google that and you get the wrong website, you're going to see something that's...
is it a Peter
make sure
North
you get all the letters in there.
You're going to see something that's festive.
Don't leave out the ale.
But it's not holiday festive. You know what I'm saying?
I think EV's 0.12 might be legit.
No, it's not. Just don't leave out the ale.
It's got some vodka, some Kahlua.
Right.
Hold up. Raise your hand if you don't know Peter North.
Oh, no. All the hands are down. Of course you know. You know who that guy is.
Jason, what are you making?
I'm making a Christmas old fashioned.
Ah, okay.
I don't get sized for old fashioned, but I'm not a judge.
And I think D would like it.
I love it old fashioned.
Yeah. It's going to be good.
All right, let's go to our guy, Al Rashid, who gave us, like, gift cards, Mega Millions tickets.
He's very benevolent.
You didn't have to do that, my friend.
Al, did you hear earlier? I will give you half of my $250 million if I win.
I'm only giving you 10%.
I'll chop it with you, Al.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate it, and it's the least I can do. You guys entertain me and everybody else, so enjoy, and hopefully we can win and split the winnings. And I appreciate you guys for everything that you do.
Thank you, buddy. Except for me, you're only getting 10%.
And Jason, I think Jason's just buying your house.
I'm Jason said he'll pay off your house.
Yeah, Jason will hook me up. I know he will.
Yeah, he will. Yeah.
All right, buy some.
He's a big softie. He'll hook you.
Right. Right.
All right, so we thank you, pal. In the judges?
I think next segment. I think next segment.
I'll
bring him in now.
Yeah,
bring him now.
All right. What, Drabby, you have to.
All right, we're going to do a produce one, here. One.
All right.
And you guys have any guesses or?
No idea. Tom DeLay.
I'm guessing that Cowboy Todd may be a judge. That's my best guess.
Drunk Mike and
Chris
Tom
Farley with a bag full of sneakers.
Maybe. That the skinniest would be Santa of all time.
Should I guess big?
Oh, Jesus!
It's A-Rod's dad, Maury!
Adam's Maury. Father!
Yes!
Oh, my God!
That's Maury!
Maury from...
That's a perfect guy! Perfect judge!
Oh, my
judge.
God!
The last time I saw him, he was shirtless.
Oh, my God! Adam's dad is here!
Yes,
hello,
he
everyone.
How are you, my friend?
Doing good.
Sorry about Adam.
I've actually forgotten his real name.
Mike.
No,
you know
Mike's
what? Boy. If you follow the Nationals, Mike Epstein, that's my name.
No.
Remember the first baseman?
No,
he
I don't
hit
remember.
35 home runs in 1970.
Oh, yeah.
1970, yeah. The year we were born.
He's still, always believe boring. It or not, he's
Mike,
still.
Can you tell us what are you most proud of when it comes to your son, Adam? And what are you least proud of?
Yeah, great question.
Most proud of? Probably that he's followed his dream. You know, he loved sports when he was 3 or 4 years old. And
right.
He's just followed it all the way through.
So even though he comes in here and all we do is just make fun of him and humiliate him and pat his big fat belly and all that.
The belly is a problem. it's true. I did grab the belly. But you know what? It's a little
it's getting a little smaller, right? We're trying to motivate him. We're giving him money. Each of us gives him 100 bucks. If he can get below 200, is it 200 or 202?
202.
How do we get 202? Oh, the zip code.
The area code.
And what are you least proud of when it comes to your son?
Lack of success with women.
You know, let's bring this up. On the show itself, and we just only really know him from the show, he's been a proven liar. We've had a lie detector test. And
yes,
he failed
true.
That. He's lost to my son in Are You Smarter Than a Fourth and Fifth Grader, back-to-back
right.
years.
Do you believe that Adam actually graduated from VCU?
No, he really did. No, of course he did.
No, you believe
I was
he
at
did?
The graduation.
And he did walk.
And he did very well in some classes. He's always, I guess that's, if you're going to ask an class. Area.
What classes?
Which 101?
No. What
do you
think the biggest, of? You asked me the biggest problem.
Okay. Yeah.
He didn't take English seriously.
Yeah.
No kidding.
He still doesn't.
He always had, he had great ideas on his essays.
Yeah. Do you believe
always,
when he claims that he got a perfect score on the math portion of the SAT?
I think in his practice test that he did, he got a perfect score.
No way.
You're claiming that kid got an 800 on the...
Believe it or not, when he was 3 or 4 years old, he could look at the scoreboard at a basketball game and say it's 94-76. He could say it's 18 points, just like that.
So he can.
So he's good with subtraction.
You know what? He actually did very well. I think he got an A or a B in physics.
Let me ask you a question.
I'd be shocked.
Do you realize he used the word family-ness the other day?
His English is not good.
That's the biggest disappointment.
He used a cliche.
He said, I love family-ness.
He used a cliche. I truly believe in the back of my heart.
Right.
You know what? I think I have that same problem.
Yeah, do you botch cliches?
I'm a second career tour guide.
Do you have any advice for Adam in regards to women? He's not been very successful with women.
You know what? He was pretty successful at VCU.
You think?
Well,
What do you consider successful? Yeah.
Success. He had a lot of girlfriends. And you know what? What I liked was... He had a lot of women friends that just like to hang around.
That's boring. We want women friends that, you know what I'm saying? Like that.
You know, father doesn't get involved.
Yeah. Don't get in
try not to.
Yeah. No, that's
but
always
what do you make? Honestly, one of the most perplexing things to me was at one point,
Adam was bragging
about his education, and he talked about his VCU degree. And he said, I'll prove it to you. And he brought in a paper that was a B-, I believe. It's like, that's the best you got?
Well, he wasn't good in English. He said that. He wasn't good in English.
No. What was amazing to me about VCU is when the class of 40 or 50, they said, raise your hand if you'd like to work with NBC in Richmond. And he said, like, he and one other kid were the only ones that raised his hand. raise their hands.
All right, Mike Epstein, I know you were an all-star reserve in 1970, but we got to bring in the second judge.
Bring in the second judge. Yeah. Is that his real hair? I think that's toupee.
It's his real hair. I'm going real.
Is that your real hair?
Full on real, yeah.
Real hair.
Wow, that is his real hair.
More his wigs don't come off, EB.
Grandfather had this right. much hair
here
at 88.
Here comes your son with the second judge.
All right, here we go. Second judge.
Judge. Oh! The hot dog king of North Carolina.
Brad, old producer.
Old producer.
Look at this.
It's been so long.
Hot dogs. He's got some booze. Is that some Vuv
Clicquot? Brought in some champagne for us.
Brett D. Smith.
So Brett was the longtime producer and assistant program director.
That's right.
At the radio station.
I'd love to have you back.
What year were you assistant program director?
Hang on. I left in 2012, early 2012.
Of course, took over his brother's business. And it's expanded and it's blown up. And he has an amazing business there with Sup Dogs.
And Junk listeners still come in all the time, right?
Literally every week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, does it blow you away?
Yeah. Like literally every time I'm in the restaurant.
This is added pressure, by the way, because Brett is in the restaurant / bar biz. Right. So he knows a good or a bad drink. So he's going to be able to tell.
Yeah, I could I know, right? All this stuff looks good. 1942.
Will you drink some?
Yeah, I have a little bit.
Yeah, come on, deep pour a little bit, by the way. Now, did you just happen to be in town? How did we make this happen?
Valdez and Drab invited me, and I just booked the flight.
Look at that.
This is Matt Valdez.
That's how big time Sup Dogs is doing.
For those that don't remember, Brett. We had many segments with him on the air, but he also was known as Meaty Thighs.
So he doesn't have the meaty thighs anymore.
He's
all skinny and everything.
I was telling Adam, there's hope.
He had a great picture with what he called was a horse.
Yes.
His honeymoon.
It's one of the great pictures in Junk's history.
He told us how big the horse was.
It might be the greatest picture ever.
Dude, this job is hard on your body.
He went swimming with Rom. That's another good picture.
It's a great one, too.
Right.
Snorkeling. It's a great moment.
What's the average time you actually go to sleep every night?
It's changed since I had my daughter, but probably 1 a.m.
1 a.m.?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's probably average.
What's your all-time favorite?
He's making way more money.
Oh, he's killing it. What's your all-time favorite Junk's moment? Do you have one that comes to mind?
Oh,
French fry contest?
No.
What about when
I can eat 10 or
something? He sucks my toes.
How about your toes?
Let me tell you something. He was very good at it.
What about when I threw the oranges at you?
Oh, you just threw one.
I think it was a Mexican.
I missed it.
You know what I missed? Why he throw an orange at you?
This is a classic story.
No, I remember exactly.
I think it was...
I had a tea time.
We were supposed to interview like somebody. I mean, it was a big name.
No. He wanted to leave a segment early to make his tea time.
Oh, that's right. He wanted to leave a segment early.
I mean, it was unprofessional.
And Brett was so bitter, and he gave me crap about it. And
I was bitter. I just didn't want to get in trouble. Because then CK would have been like, God,
you can't leave the show early for a tea time.
And he said, you know what? He had an orange because all he ate was fruit. He eats healthy.
He does eat healthy.
And he literally launched it at my head. I'm like, that's a show.
But he made his tea time.
Yeah.
He still left.
I didn't ask one question. I made a point of not asking.
Oh, is that true? You just were there for just...
Just out of spite.
Right. But this is what I miss, like just hanging out and like the road trips. I mean, that stuff was awesome.
Oh,
I
know.
So great. Well, so great that you're here,
man. Yeah, of course.
What do you think of Mike Epstein?
We've become close friends already.
Look at that. You know, he's tight.
Have you invited him out to Sup Dogs?
No, he's invited any time. He's telling me about Adam and the psychology behind the divorce.
Look at that, getting deep.
Because Adam is like really broken up about it. Still, been like 5 years already.
Yeah, I think it's gonna take time. You know, once he meets a girl, he loses.
Just get over it.
He's gonna lose some weight. Meet a girl. Right. Probably.
What do you think Adam's problem is? Honestly, because he does meet a lot of girls. He is a nice kid. He's fun.
He's in a position that you're in that you're able to meet your wife.
Have you ever met a guy who's gotten less buns from this show?
No.
Like this work behind the scenes?
No. I mean, I did real well off the show. I mean,
successful.
Yeah. I mean, I could. Yeah,
the behind the scenes guys.
You know how easy it is? Hey, I got tickets to this concert. Right. You want to come with me?
Right.
Hey, have it. You know, some 1942, done.
Right. Next thing you know, hitting skins. Yeah.
But here's what, with Adam, because I watched him. Yeah. He was grinding on that girl a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
He just lacks the killer instinct. He's a little too nice with these
things. Yeah, that's probably, his dad's genes.
It is the Me Too movement, but what was your move? Now I remember Brett's move.
Go easy.
No, that's no move.
That's an old, just, yeah. Yeah. Pre-Me Too.
He just used to say, you know what? Did you just used to say it's a show?
Let's just leave that in the past.
JP, that's pre okay? Me Too. We don't do that anymore.
There's a lot of things that were talked about on this show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's pre Me Too.
15 years ago, we couldn't do it now.
So here's the deal. Some of the drinks are going to take a little longer.
Well, I have a question. Hold on. I know we got to go to break. How are we going to do the scoring wise? I feel like you have to score each drink and then, you know what I mean? Then average the two scores, right?
Yeah.
How are they going to score? 1 to 10?
1 to 10.
1 to 10.
All right.
What are you looking for, Brett?
They shouldn't really know who the drinks are coming from.
It's true. It's impossible not to know.
They won't be biased. Yeah, they'll be able to figure it out.
Two people. Look, my drink's going to take a while to prepare.
Right.
So yours is pretty quick. I think.
Mine I can make in a minute.
Yours is pretty quick.
I'm going to make mine on the air.
Why don't you and Jason do
No, I'm making
yours.
It on the air.
No, I can't make mine on the air. It's too intricate. Yeah.
I need
a. I'm making mine on the air.
Full commercial break. I got a blender.
Yeah.
No. I gotta get ice cream out of the. I gotta get ice cream out of the freezer.
Right. No. Ice cream.
I'm making mine on.
Ice cream for a contest.
Right. I mean, I'm making a mudslide. It's silly.
No, I actually like JP's. I'd probably vote for JP's.
Right, hey, don't take the panel.
All right.
Over there.
Okay.
All right. So Maury and Brett are our judges, and then if there's a tiebreaker, here's what we'll do.
Then
D's the tiebreaker.
Yeah, tiebreaker.
Very good.
All right. Perfect. D Smith is executive director of the NFLPA, hanging out with us. It's our annual holiday show, and remember, Jason still wants your highs and lows.
Yes, he does.
Year.
Your personal highs and lows.
Lines aren't even open
because Drabby closed the lines.
He does that on purpose.
Yeah, he does.
No fun.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. It's the Junkies Holiday Show.
Run, run, Rudolph, reeling like a merry-go-round.
The Junkies Rewind on the download.
It's just so great to hear. If you missed any, and I mean any, of the Junkies Holiday Show, I strongly suggest heading over to thesportsjunkies.com, find our recap blog, and then it'll fill you in on all the hilarity you might have missed, even if it's just a little bit. And of course, we got some great stuff up on 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page from Friday's holiday show as well. And if you're not following us on Instagram yet, please, what are you doing? Just do it. We're kicking ass on there, I promise you. I'll see you guys same time next Saturday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.